Hear now, house of Israel. Is it my way that is unfair, or rather, are not your ways unfair? When someone virtuous turns away from virtue to commit iniquity and dies, it is because of the iniquity he committed that he must die. But if he turns from the wickedness he has committed and does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life. Since he has turned away from all the sins that he has committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. Have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O
Lord. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go out and work today in the vineyard.' He said to him in reply, 'I will not.' But afterwards he changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. He said in reply, 'Yes, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will?" They answered, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors and prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Greek writer Nikos Katsantzakis tells us that there are three groups of people living in the world based upon the food they eat. One group eats food and then it passes directly into the latrine. Second group eats food and turns it into work. The third group eats food and turns it into spirit. Today's gospel, Jesus sees the chief priests and the elders of the people. And he tells them, "Your lives are non-productive. Your lives are producing nothing. Not because of the food that they eat, but because of their head knowledge. They have all this knowledge, supposed knowledge about God, God's covenant, God's commandments. They have all this head knowledge about neighbor and service of neighbor, but it doesn't lead to compassion. It doesn't lead to concern and service of neighbor. And so Jesus says, it's all wasted. It's all wasted. The prostitutes and the tax collectors, well, they don't have a lot of head stuff. They don't have a lot of head knowledge. They don't think about God a lot. They don't think about God's commandments a lot. They don't think about God's promises a lot. But what they do is they listen to John the Baptist. They hear him talk about conversion of heart. He hears them talk about a new heart. He hears John the Baptist. They hear John the Baptist talking about service to neighbor. And they do it. They do it. The focus in today's scriptures is on action. In the gospel parable that we've just heard proclaimed, these parables, of course, are the stories of the kingdom. That's how Jesus talks to us about the kingdom. He gives us these stories of the kingdom. And in this parable, notice that the righteous one is the one who says to the Father, no, I won't do it. In his head, he says, no, I'm not going to do it. But then his feet lead elsewhere. Then he ends up doing it. The villain in today's gospel parable, the story Jesus gives us, the villain is the one who in his head says, yes, 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 I know about God's promises. Yes, yes, I know all the commandments. Yes, yes, I know about God. I think about God a lot. I think about my neighbor a lot. But he doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything. So often, I think, we associate conversion with what goes on in our heads. Or maybe our feelings. So often we think conversion is, well, I think about God, I think about His commandments, I think about serving my neighbor, I think about forgiving, and I think about being kind to others. And we call that conversion. We call that conversion. Conversion, certainly, you know, knowing things about God, knowing things about our faith, those things are important. I don't mean to suggest that they aren't. But they're not the most important thing, not according to Jesus. Knowing things, that's important, but it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is doing them. The most important thing is doing them. Speaking personally, just speaking for myself, but I have a hunch that perhaps there's others who will stand with me. I find myself increasingly, as I look around the world, especially our society, as I look around, I find myself despairing. I just find that we, including myself in this, that we cling to what we think, and we aren't going to let go of it. We cling to what we think because, well, that's what gives me my identity. We cling to what I think is right because, by golly, that's where my security is, or so I think. I find myself increasingly despairing because I just don't know anymore if we can open our minds to other people and listen to one another. I just don't know if we're capable of doing it anymore. You know the story of the philosophy professor. His students ask him, Professor, do fish think? Professor went out bought fish, brought them, dumped them into his pond at the far end of the pond, the north end of the pond, began to feed them. Week one, week two, the fish all gathered. Oh, they came. They came then. And after 3 weeks, they knew exactly where the food was. But then after the third week, he moved to the other end of the pond. He moved to the south end of the pond, began throwing in food. First week, no fish. Second week, no fish. Third week, a few fish started to come. By the end of the week, they all had managed to make it to the other end of the pond, but it's too late. They died of starvation. Professor said to his students, "Do fish think?" "Yes, fish think, but too slowly." "I despair because I think that we think like fish. We think, but we think too slowly." If we are banking our eternal salvation on our good thoughts, folks, we're in trouble. If we are banking eternal salvation on our thoughts, we are in trouble. But my despair gives way to hope, too. I find my hope, and I find it growing stronger. I find my hope in our ability to act in compassion and generosity and selflessness. I see it. I see it every single day. You do too. I know you do. In ways large and small, I see how we can choose to love, how we can choose to forgive, how we can choose to listen, how we can choose to care and be compassionate. I see that, and that's my hope. I don't have any hope that we can think ourselves into a new way of acting. I've given up on that. But my great hope is in Jesus Christ, we can act into a new way of thinking. We can do it. Brother Guy Consomalo is a Jesuit brother. He's been a long time head of the Vatican Observatory. He's a world-renowned astronomer. And a few years ago, he gave a talk at the Terrebonne University in La Crosse. And during the course of his presentation, he had made mention of something that happened just in South Carolina a few days prior. He said at the end of his talk in South Carolina, a young man stood up and publicly asked him. He said, the young man asked Brother Guy, "I want to, more than anything, my heart is afire with the possibility of becoming a geologist. That's what I really want to do. But my mother is a fundamentalist. She believes the world was created in 6 days, 3,000 years ago, and if I become a geologist, it will just fly in her face. She will be so insulted. What do I do?" Brother Guy told the young man, "I don't have a 7-second soundbite for you to answer your question, but I would suggest this. Here's what you should do, is live a good life. Go to church with your mother. And day by day, by your goodness, she will come to see that you're not as evil as she thinks geologists are." Actions speak louder than words. We've heard that 10 million times, so much so that it's trite. Except it's not so trite when we realize why actions are louder than words. When we as believers in Jesus Christ knows whose actions are louder than words, when we as in Jesus Christ know whose actions matter, then we know what St. Paul tells us in today's second reading and what I contend are the most eloquent, powerful words ever proclaimed with human voice. Did you hear him? Our attitude must be that of Christ, who did not deem equality with God anything to be clung to, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave.